The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Outrage and protests across U.S. cities on Thursday after the second police shooting of a black man in
They're symptomatic of a broader set of racial disparities that exist in our criminal justice system. Well, there's some police who aren't doing the right thing.
Snipers opened fire on the officers from an elevated position.
I made it across the street into the parking lot, and that's when I saw a downed officer.
I am just getting word, and it is not good word. The Dallas Police Association is now tweeting tonight that a fifth police officer has now died.
It's just out of control again in Dallas.
This is still going on.
Yes.
The situation is not over. This is a very fluid situation.
It's complete pandemonium.
And it's just very tragic. That's a collection of bits from the news reporting last night. The news coming out of Dallas. The police there under attack. Which is what we wrote about right around this time last year in the Trumpet magazine. Five Dallas police officers gunned down during a Black Lives Matter protest. Think about that. Black Lives Matter, these demonstrators chant. And to an ever-growing number of them, who knows how many, the lives of law enforcement officials do not matter. Now you can expect in the coming days, you can expect the major media to go into overdrive to try to create a storyline that says these shooters were in no way connected to the Black Lives Matter movement, that this was just a peaceful demonstration until these two shooters showed up. But look back at what's been building over these last couple of years in particular. The chants in Ferguson, kill the police, kill the police. The chants in Minnesota, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. This is war, they've been saying. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us that something like this happens. The New York Times reports today, five Dallas police officers were killed and six others were wounded by snipers Thursday night during a demonstration protesting shootings by officers in Minnesota and Louisiana this week. So this is the response to those two other shootings, and we'll look more at that in the second segment. But this is the response. This is the retaliation. This is what one spokesman for the Dallas Police Department said last night, clip two.
We believe that these suspects were positioning themselves in a way to triangulate on these officers from two different perches in garages in the downtown area and planned to injure and kill as many law enforcement officers as they could.
This is what they planned. You talk about intent or motivation. Here is a case, clearly, where those involved, they woke up yesterday morning with the plan. They were intent on killing as many law enforcement officials as they could, and they got five of them. The New York Times says the police believe four suspects coordinated the attack with rifles. Four suspects. There were two shooters, but there were others involved. And it says Police Chief David O'Brown said, he talks about how they position themselves, as you heard there in that soundbite, in triangulated locations near the end of the route the protesters planned to take. So they knew where the protest would end. They knew the route. It says the police had three people in custody and were negotiating in the early morning hours with a fourth who was in a garage in downtown Dallas at El Centro, a community college. That suspect had exchanged gunfire with the police and was being uncooperative in talks. Imagine that. It says the suspect has told our negotiators that the end is coming, and he's going to hurt and kill more of us, meaning law enforcement. Kill the police. Pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. They're promising more violence. They're saying there's going to be more bloodshed. And meanwhile, you have leaders, distinguished leaders in the black community that are there inciting the violence. We quoted the former New York mayor, Rudy Giuliani, in one of our Trumpet magazines from last year or the year before, where he talked about how that this incitement of violence against the police, that it's coming from the very top. It starts with the president, and we'll get to some of his sound bites here in just a second. But it continues right on down within the black community in particular. This, as Giuliani said, this strong anti-police hatred. It's being fueled by propaganda. This strong anti-police hatred. Propaganda that starts with the president. This is what he said last year. April 28th, 2015. This is clip 9.
Well, there's some police who aren't doing the right thing.
And then again, this is the year before, August 14th, 2014. This is clip 10.
There's also no excuse for police to use excessive force against peaceful protests.
Right, and that's what we had last night, a peaceful protest, and the police didn't use excessive force, not at all. In Baltimore, remember, they gave space. They gave space to the rioters, the police did. And then the rioters went about destroying half the city. So there's no excuse, the president says, for police to use excessive force against these peaceful protesters. And look at the protests in Baltimore. Anything but peace. Look at the protests last night in Dallas. Anything but peace. Same with Ferguson. And you go right down the line. The New York Times today, it says, although the shooting occurred during a rally to protest police-involved shootings, it was unclear what relationship the gunman had to the demonstration. So as I say, what you can expect now from the major media is to really try to make sure that there's no connection between the shooters and the demonstrators, because the demonstrators, remember, are peaceful. And the shooters, they're just, well, they're crazed lunatics, but they're like lone wolves. We've heard a lot this week about criminal negligence or gross negligence, particularly with the email scandal involving Hillary Clinton. Well, that's what you'll see, and that's what we've been seeing with the media coverage. Going back to Trayvon Martin, continuing on with what happened in Ferguson, then Baltimore. It's just been criminal negligence all along the way. I mean, here are these police officers involved in the Baltimore case. They're being acquitted one by one. Do you hear any of the leaders in Baltimore that were so quick to jump in front of the microphone And to say there's an institutional racism here that we've got to address. We need the Justice Department. And here these police officers, they go before a jury that after collecting the evidence sees that there wasn't any wrongdoing. It's not to say that there's never a case in America where there is police brutality, but why are there so many hoaxes? Why is there so much criminal negligence when it comes to the news coverage of these stories? Why do you see it happen over and over again? Nope, no racism with the Trayvon Martin tragedy. None again with Michael Brown and the police officer in Ferguson. Nope, as it turns out, he wasn't walking away with his hands up. He was attacking the police officer. Kill the police. Kill the police. Why is it that we see this over and over again? Because there's a spirit behind it. Because Ephesians 2, as I read to you yesterday, says that Satan the devil is the prince of the power of the air. John 8 says he's the father of lies. He's a murderer, and he has been from the beginning. He's the ultimate source of this incitement, this rage, this hatred. New York Times here, it says, Chief Brown said it was too early in the investigation to say whether there was any connection between the shooters and the demonstration. He suggested that the suspects had some knowledge of the march route. Well, I should say they did. The New York Times has a map of the demonstration there in downtown Dallas. It started, I didn't get the name of the streets, but it starts in one direction, it goes down a few blocks, takes a left turn, and then heads back left again, going in the opposite direction, and then down toward the end of the protest, several blocks on further. There are the shooters. They knew where the protest would start, and they knew where it would end. And so how many in the protest knew about it? Well, who knows? Who knows? A picture that the police sent out of one of the suspects. He was right there within the protest, carrying a rifle. Another one, as I'll read here in just a second. He's wearing a bulletproof vest. And so they show up to these protests. They chant, kill the police. Some of them have weapons, others in bulletproof vests. And what are the police to do? Well, I guess stand down or give them space. What a position they're in. It's no wonder there's so many law enforcement agencies across the nation, the United States, that are just outraged by the lack of leadership, outraged by the statements coming from top officials, statements coming from the president himself. The chief police quoted in this New York Times piece, how would you know to post up there, he said. In other words, how would these shooters know right where to be? Well, there's probably more facts and more evidence that's going to be rolling in the next few days. But don't expect the major media. Don't expect them to look into the Black Lives Matter movement like the trumpet has. Don't expect it. Just wait for the next incident between a police officer and a young black man, and you'll get all the storyline, all the narrative that, well, you've been getting the last few years. How would they know? The chief added here, we have yet to determine whether or not there was some complicity with the planning of this, but we will be pursuing that. Well, maybe the Dallas Police Department will find out and get the facts. But looking at the map of the protest route, looking at the pictures of one of the suspects, And even reading further in this New York Times piece, it says here in one section of downtown, officers asked an African-American man wearing a bulletproof vest to walk toward them. So here's one of the protesters wearing a bulletproof vest. Was he involved? Was he associated with this plot? Or did he know that there was going to be gunfire? It says the man slowly approached with his hands up, and a crowd of onlookers became angry and shouted and cursed at the police. And so those in the demonstration, those in the protest, they cursed at the police. Because you see, the police are the bad guys here. That's what we've been told. That's the propaganda. That's what the news media has been there faithfully reporting, taking its cue from the President of the United States. It says an officer had his gun pointed at a black woman, and many in the crowd quickly began filming the scene with their cell phones. That's the way you do it. Any kind of an altercation, well, you got to whip out the cell phone. And we've got to film it and then distribute it on social media and get people riled up and get people angry. It says the tension eased as people in the crowd chanted, "Black Lives Matter." Black Lives Matter, they chanted. And then not long after this, we can add, five officers shot dead and six more wounded. As many as 11 people shot during this ambush. That's what it was. And it happened during a Black Lives Matter protest. You remember what President Obama said earlier this year? It was in his during his trip right here to the UK, when he praised the Black Lives Matter movement. This is clip 7.
As a general rule, I think that what, for example, Black Lives Matter is doing now to bring attention to the problem of a criminal justice system that sometimes is not treating people fairly based on race or reacting to shootings of individuals by police officers has been really effective in bringing attention to problems.
That's what he said in England, April 23rd, earlier this year. The Black Lives Matter movement, how it's been really effective in drawing attention to problems. I mean, he's had nicer things to say about that organization than he has about police departments and law enforcement officials. As I said, we've covered this. We've reported on this movement and where it's leading. It was just in the May-June trumpet, just a couple of months ago, where my father had an article there showing how the Black Lives Matter movement, it's just basically a reincarnated version of the Black Panther movement from the 1960s and 70s. The Black Panthers that were featured during the Super Bowl halftime show in January, or praised. The more recent version started in 2012 after the Trayvon Martin incident where he got killed by George Zimmerman, one of the founding members of this movement. As I've noted to you before, she candidly cites Assata Shakur as a key influence behind the movement. And Shakur is a cop killer. She killed a New Jersey state trooper years ago, fled to Cuba, where she still receives political asylum. I guess with all of the so-called improved relations with Cuba, we're not able to get that criminal back here in the United States for justice, for the sake of justice. She's a cop killer down there in Cuba and a real source of inspiration for the Black Lives Matter movement. My father said in this article, Alicia Garza, she's the one that sees Shakur as a source of inspiration. She was paraphrased, this Garza woman, paraphrased in a February 18th event at Missouri University, as saying the goal of the Constitution was to make an agreement between factions known as states, which were built on the backs of black slaves. So you see, this goes far, far beyond a few policemen who've gone bad. This goes all the way back to the Constitution and slavery. It quotes another prominent figure in the Black Lives Matter movement, Blake Simmons. We quote him in the article. It says, "I've come to realize that the Constitution is the root of virtually all the problems in America." And he says a lot of the same thing. A lot of the same things as Alicia Garza. The problem is with racist America, white America to be precise. This Blake Simmons says, "The Constitution and all the evil that it allows to be perpetuated are the head of white America, or more so corrupt America, racist America." It says if you separate the head, the racism will die. The head, remember, is white America. If you separate the head, then the racism will die. This is the solution. President Obama's met with some of these people, Alicia Garza at least, who sees Asada Shakur as a great African-American activist, a Black Panther member, a cop killer. So where's this kind of thinking leading? Where is this movement leading? Well, we got a little snapshot of it last night in Dallas. It's headed for an explosion. It's headed for race wars. And there's a spirit behind it. As I say, let me just conclude this segment by reading to you this verse again, Ephesians 2. I read it yesterday on a different subject. So it is, I guess, at the forefront of my thinking here. But it certainly applies in this context as well. Ephesians chapter 2, notice this is the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren in Ephesus, talking about the God of this world. Verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." The prince of the power of the air, in writing about this in Mystery of the Ages, Herbert Armstrong said that it's like Satan has surcharged the air with his attitudes, his moods, his impulses. And that's why we see this world in the place that it is today. Let me just play for you what... this is the last clip we have, Jesse, I think. This is Mr. Armstrong talking about, and we've talked about this so often, we've used clips like this before, but he's talking about the great paradox of our day. This is Herbert Armstrong from the early 1980s.
First, you're living in a modern world today of awesome progress, awesome accomplishment. As I've said time and again, sending men to the moon and back today, getting photographs in from close up from right on the surface of Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter, the awesome things of the jet plane. We're living in a time of awesome progress, but appalling crime, appalling evils and troubles and problems that the world seems unable to solve. We can't seem to solve our problems. We're living in a world of discontent, a world of unhappiness, a world where about half of this world is living in abject poverty, filth and squalor, and where hundreds and thousands are actually starving to death week by week and month by month in this world. Why, in a world of such technology, in a world of such progress, should we have such a condition among humanity?
Why the conditions? Given the progress that we're making, all the technology, all the advancement, and in looking at the world today, why is there so much just senseless, horrific violence? We talked about some of that yesterday with respect to Israel and the Jews and those that would want to just break into a home so that they could stab a little Jewish girl. You see the same kind of satanic rage last night in Dallas. Just shoot at any target wearing a blue uniform. Kill as many cops as possible. That was the plan. That was the motive. That was the intent. And these things, sad to say, are prophesied to get worse. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're living in the midst of those perilous times. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to send us some feedback, you can send those emails to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Well, with any number of these incidents between police officers and black men, President Obama has been very quick to step forward and react, giving, in many cases, provocative remarks that only increases people's mistrust of law enforcement officials. And if you look at a number of the incidents that he's commented on, quickly, I would add, well, the facts that have come through later have proven him to be wrong with his initial assessment, whether it was the Cambridge police incident from 2009, 2012 with Trayvon Martin, and then Michael Brown in Ferguson there in 2014. Last year it was Baltimore. And now this week with the president and with the major media, it's the cases in Louisiana and Minnesota, Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. The president said yesterday, this was on a Facebook post, he said, regardless of the outcome of such investigations, what's clear is that these fatal shootings are not isolated incidents. They are symptomatic of the broader challenges within our criminal justice system. The racial disparities that appear across the system year after year, and the resulting lack of trust that exists between law enforcement and too many of the communities they serve. I mean, these are the broader challenges that he wants America to focus on. The fact that the criminal justice system is not fair. Here's what he said yesterday regarding these two cases. And now, he made these comments just hours before what happened in Dallas last night. This is clip number 3.
All of us as Americans should be troubled by these shootings, because these are not isolated incidents. They're symptomatic of a broader set of racial disparities that exist in our criminal justice system.
All of us should be troubled by it. These are not isolated incidents, but really, I mean, if you strip away Trayvon Martin, if you take away the Michael Brown thing, if you take away the Freddie Gray, I mean, because what have the facts proven in the end? And with a nation, surely there are some bad cops somewhere. But in a nation of 320 million people, you could easily argue, if you just look at the facts and the figures, that if there is a rogue cop that's gone wrong and that shoots someone unnecessarily, it's an isolated incident. It certainly is. These things are rare. But the thing of it is, you've got the media taking its cue from the president that's there to carry on with the same narrative every single time. And it's criminally negligent. The things that are often left out. Now, there's the video in the case of Alton Sterling. There's still some facts, though, that we don't know about that. From both of the videos, you can't very well tell if he actually is reaching into his pocket to grab a gun or not when those two officers had him pinned down. But why? Why would a major media come along and say, look, he was just selling CDs, and he was a loving, caring father? Same thing with Mike Brown, you know, the gentle giant. He was on his way to college, and he had his hands up, and he said, don't shoot, and he got gunned down by a racist. Every single time. I mean, the length of the rap sheet on this Sterling, you're not going to get much coverage. Not in the major media. All that they want you to know is that he was just there trying to sell a CD on the street. And then these two racists came along and killed him. Trigger happy. Well, he had a gun. He had a firearm. And he was legally prohibited from possessing a firearm. But don't expect any demonstrations in Congress. Don't expect any sit-ins on gun control. Not with this case. both of these individuals this week, Sterling and Castile. They were carrying weapons. They were carrying firearms. Now you put yourself in the place of those policemen. It's not a position I'd like to be in, for sure. You've got to make a split-second decision, and sometimes those decisions can be wrong. There's no way around that. But when you have to make a decision, a life and death decision, in a split second, and it happens to be an individual carrying a gun, police records show that he was a member of a gang at some point in his life. He had a long list of offenses, battery, assault, drugs, weapons charges. He owed $25,000 in child support. So it doesn't seem like he was really that great of a father, as it turns out. I mean, if we're just looking at the facts on the rap sheet. But the media, they want you to know that he was a loving father who was just trying to do his job on the street. The police were called to the scene after this Sterling threatened a homeless man with his gun, with his firearm. And then you've probably seen some of the reporting on what happened next. When the police arrived and they wrestled him to the ground. And one of them said he had a gun. Was he reaching for it or was he not? Well, we don't know. We don't know. But is it worth all of this kind of coverage? Particularly when it's biased? When it's slanted? There was a young white man who was shot dead by police earlier in the week as well. No one's reporting on that. No one cares about that. The president didn't have a statement after that incident. This is from a post at Alan B. West's website. He's the former congressman from Florida. A post here by Matt Palumbo. It says, what happened is undoubtedly tragic. This is regarding Alton Sterling. The circumstances of the shooting still aren't completely clear, and nobody deserves to die just for having a criminal record. However, it would be just as dishonest to portray this story as just another man living his life who was gunned down by the police for no reason, which is what many on the left, including Black Lives Matter, will do. That's what they'll do. They've done it. And they've already retaliated before all of the facts have even come in. I was telling my wife earlier this morning, you know, when you have these incidents that do make some headlines, my initial thought is, well, it's too early to even get up and say much about it until we know more about what actually happened. But the thing is, going back to Ephesians 2:2 and 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Revelation 12:9, you don't have Satan the devil as the god of this world waiting for all the facts to come in before he motivates, before he inspires. He'll just take something, anything, an incident, and then get all of his minions off and running with the same old narrative, the same storyline that we've heard and seen so many times before. Again, you talk about criminal negligence. That's what we're getting over and again from the major media. Let me just take you back to what the president said after the Baltimore rioting that happened last year over Freddie Gray. This is clip 11.
What I think the people of Baltimore want more than anything else is the truth. That's what people around the country expect. To the extent that it's appropriate, this administration will help local officials get to the bottom of exactly what happened.
That's what those rioters from Baltimore wanted more than anything else, right? They just wanted the truth. And well, now the truth is coming out in case after case with those six officers. But does it matter at this point? I mean, a year's gone by. There's no sense in going back and saying, hey, you know what? We got it wrong on Freddie Gray. Those officers were doing their job. This was a drug dealer wielding a weapon. Stoned. Probably killed himself in the back of that van. Are they going to come forward and set the record straight? If that's all that those rioters really wanted last year was the truth, well, then let's give it to them. What about the truth in these two cases from this past week? Maybe there was excessive force. Maybe both of those cases. I'm pretty sure that if there was, and after an investigation, those police officers are going to be punished. But look at the facts, and you have to put that in quotes, that the major media wants for you to focus on now. They're just gunned down by the police for no reason. That's the same storyline. My father's article from last year, police under attack. He said it would be overstating it to say there's no racism among America's law enforcement officers. But there are some few people who are scrutinizing and magnifying this issue for evil purposes. They're using it dishonestly to explain or excuse some terrifyingly dangerous behavior. They're stirring up emotion and anger. But none of it's truly intended to solve the problem. He said the results are inciting evils that are quickly becoming far worse than those they purport to solve. The nation's police are being undermined in ways that will prove devastating to our cities in particular. How about that from last year? Trumpet Magazine, August 2015. The results are inciting evils that are quickly becoming far worse than those they purport to solve. And then he said the nation's police are being undermined in ways that will prove devastating to our cities in particular. Yes, indeed. People from Dallas, from Texas, all across America, waking up this morning just absolutely stunned at what's happening to America's cities. First it's St. Louis, then it's Baltimore. Dallas last night. What a tragedy. And it happens, as I say, just a few hours after the president, after flying from North America through to Poland here in Europe, and then again rushing to the microphone to give a 15-minute statement. I'll give you a couple more clips from his statement yesterday. This is clip four.
When people say black lives matter, that doesn't mean blue lives don't matter. It just means all lives matter. But right now, the big concern is the fact that the data shows black folks are more vulnerable to these kinds of incidents.
They're more vulnerable. That's the big concern. The big concern is over what's happening to the drug dealer in Baltimore, the cop killer in Ferguson, or the one who is attempting to. One more statement. This is clip five.
And I would just ask those who question the sincerity or the legitimacy of protests and vigils and expressions of outrage, who somehow label those expressions of outrage as quote-unquote political correctness. I just ask folks to step back and think, what if this happened to somebody in your family? How would you feel?
Well, there's quite a few family members of those five slain police officers who are just absolutely horrified this morning, grieving the loss of their husbands, their fathers, their brothers, their friends, their sons. And it happened during one of these protests that the president referred to. Protests with expressions of outrage. That's what happened last night in Dallas. All of this, doesn't it? All of this shows just how much direction we need from God. And it shows how much more respect we ought to have for people in positions of authority in our communities. I thought that this comment from a CNN host the other night was pretty revealing. This is Don Lemon on CNN talking. He's a black black man who's trying to point out just how much more difficult it is for blacks to interact with police officers than it is for whites. Here's what he said the other night. This is clip six.
I am one who always says that you should comply with police officers, especially as a man of color.
That's
when
exactly
I'm stopped
correct.
By police officers.
I tell my kids the same
officer,
thing.
Officer, why are you stopping me? Yes. Yes, officer, or whatever. Now, I am an American. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to be yes siring anybody, right? I'm a grown, you know what, man.
You don't
in America.
Say sir, but if he's
yes.
giving you the law, yeah.
But
okay.
I do it because I want to stay alive.
He's respectful. He says, yes, sir, because he wants to stay alive. But he shouldn't have to do that, he said. You know, and the man that was interjecting there, by the way, was a white man, and he was basically saying, well, I do and say the same things. And shouldn't that be something that, whether white or black, we're teaching to our children across the board? Why would you not show respect for those in those offices with that authority? And furthermore, why, when they tell you to stop, or when they put you down and say, don't reach for your weapon, why would you resist? Why would you fight against it? Why would you lunge after a police officer? It's no wonder these seemingly minor incidents just explode into national tragedies. There's a verse over in Jeremiah 10 where it says that we don't know the way. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. I mean, doesn't all of this show just how much we need God? How much we need his guidance? How much we need his rule? How much we need his authority? This world, as I said yesterday, the world is burning. The world is on fire. Where will it be next week? Where will it be in the next few days? The next big explosion. The next 2 Timothy 3 fulfillment. Well, somebody's got to give you God's perspective. That's what this church is here to do. Because you're not going to get it from the major media. You're not going to get it from politicians. You're not going to get it from news commentators. I mean, just basic common sense. Okay, I say yes, sir, because I don't want to die. But I shouldn't have to be respectful. I shouldn't have to honor that office. You just see from top to bottom, don't you? That spirit. Here again, there's a spirit behind it. We've all got a grievance. We're all being mistreated. We've all been cheated. Who's behind that thinking? Where's the love for one another? Where's the love and the respect for God, our Creator? Where's the thanks and praise to God? Where's the appreciation for all the blessings that God's given to America? White and black America. Where are there the expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving for the wealth, the abundance, for the many, many years of relative peace and prosperity that we've enjoyed? And now we see those blessings being taken away. And, well, it's really bringing out the worst in our human nature. The worst kind of violence and hatred and rage. And then leaders who jump forward and say, hey, give them space to destroy things. Stand down. Stand down. Just let it kind of run its course. Or others that would say, well, hey, don't criticize protests and vigils and expressions of outrage. Don't criticize that. Well, look at what came out from that protest, that vigil, and that expression of outrage last night. You take away the authority. You take away law enforcement. And what you're left with is anarchy. Every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Every race doing what seems right in their eyes. Every religion doing what seems right in their eyes. That's what we're left with. We're left with a Judges 21-25 scenario. And then all the solutions, quote unquote, all the solutions brought forward, well, they end up making matters worse, like my father said in that police under attack article. It just makes matters worse. And the Bible says you have those going around saying, hey, it's great though, and there's peace, and we're really in a progressive time. We're really making progress. And God says, and there is no peace. Just more violence, more death and destruction. And listen, it's building. It's building to something far worse. Far worse than even some of the things we're talking about on this program. Let's just finish over in Isaiah, a verse we've read before, Isaiah chapter 1, which has something to say about our cities. Isaiah chapter 1, you think about what my father has said. Well, recently we've drawn quite a lot of attention to Brexit for obvious reasons, because Herbert Armstrong was there talking about it decades ago. He was talking about Britain being on the outside of the European Union. Well, you look at what he also said decades ago about race problems. He said in 1963, racial tensions, passions, and hatreds are being deliberately stirred by organized planning. He says it will explode into mass violence that will stagger the imagination. That's what he said in 1963. My father said in 2008 that Mr. Obama says he's going to bring the races together. This is before Mr. Obama came into office. He says that we're going to bring the races together, but we're seeing actions that will do just the opposite. The race card is going to be played often for political gain. That's a direct quote. And it's going to cost America dearly. I mean, you talk about hitting the nail on the head with Brexit. What about this? It's all because it's there in Bible prophecy. God's laid it out there for us. Isaiah 1 and verse 7, your country's desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it's desolate as overthrown by strangers. God says there are race wars coming. We're going to see it. We're going to see a full-on explosion. Go back, please, and read Police Under Attack. That's from August. From last year. Well, that's about all that we have time for on today's program. If you'd like to email the show, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next week.